Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Okay, welcome to Techno Progressivo. You're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I've got an excellent guest mix for you tonight in the form of LA-based producer Kill Frenzy as the feature for tonight's show. I will get to that shortly, but first let's check out my tracks of the week here. So for the first one, we're going to head off to Toronto for a track from Sydney Blue. This is called Mind Games. Enjoy this.
Digitization is a program that provides resources and training for First Nations and Aboriginal organizations throughout British Columbia. Come out November 24th from 1 to 4 p.m. in room 2311 in the AMS Nest for a three-hour workshop that will engage participants in a conversation about the unique context of working with Indigenous cultural heritage materials, as well as introduce the tools and equipment necessary to digitize audio cassettes for long-term preservation.
Youth for Chinese Seniors is holding a fundraiser to raise $12,000 for a seniors drop-in center in the heart of Chinatown. This organization connects youth and low-income seniors to combat issues of gentrification, racism, and other barriers. Find out more about Youth for Chinese Seniors and donate at youcaring.com/seedsforlongevity between now and November 10th.
Okay, a couple of strong tracks of the week there. The last one was Tim Baresco with one called Marilyn Monroe. That was preceded by Sydney Blue. Both tracks are on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page, so check them out for more info. Up next is the feature for tonight's show. He'll be performing at MIA here in Vancouver in 2 weeks on Saturday, November the 25th. This is a very good interview featuring a collection of amazing tracks from him. This is Kill Frenzy. Enjoy this, and I will be back in a bit. This is DJ Wah speaking to Kill Frenzy, a DJ and producer originally from Belgium but currently based in Berlin, who has been producing and remixing since 2006. His tracks have been featured on BBC's Essential Mix, and he's been released on a multitude of prominent labels, including Dirty Bird, Turbo, and Relief, just to name a few. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Kill Frenzy. So to begin with, how would you define your sound?
I don't know. I never really try to define my sound. It's always different. I feel like I kind of change my sound up quite a lot throughout the releases I've done, but it's definitely influenced by Chicago house and ghetto house kind of music and stuff. So like it's just a mixture, but it always has that ghetto house sound in it, I feel.
Okay, so coming from Belgium, moving to Berlin, and then now landing in LA, would you say that your sound has sort of evolved over time, or is it sort of similar to what it was when you first got into this?
Yeah, for sure. But I always go back to my roots, which is always the Chicago and the ghetto house stuff. Because in the first years when I started making music, I made juke. So I was making juke for a few years. I don't know if you know what it is.
I don't, actually.
It's like a 160 BPM, just super fast. It's like it evolved from ghetto house. Really, and then it's like the stuff that DJ Rashad played, DJ Spin, like all those guys. So I was doing that, and then I got kind of, I don't know, I wanted to explore the house realm more. So, and then I discovered Dirty Bird, and I was just like, holy shit, this sounds like nothing else. Because when the Clove and Stroke came over to Belgium, I went to see him, and I was just blown away because didn't know one track he was playing, and it was unlike anybody else that I was seeing at the time playing in Belgium. So yeah, it was really, really inspiring.
Okay. We'll be right back.
growing up in Belgium, did you have any musical training at a young age that kind of led you down this path or helped you as you got into producing later on?
No, absolutely not. I wish I did. Okay. I had one friend. His DJ name's Jules X. He basically taught me all about what good music is. You know, he taught me how to mix. He had like a huge vinyl collection. So, and he was very eclectic too. So it was like the first records I got was like Kraftwerk, and I got like Madonna and like Run DMC, and I was just mixing all the stuff up together. So if I bought a house record, I was mixing it up with like old records I found from my mom and stuff, like old disco records. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, can you tell me about a turning point when you realized that this was more than just a hobby and this was actually something you could legitimately do as a career?
Yes, I was actually going to school at the time when Booty Clap came out. I put it out on Dirty Bird. And then I was like, I got more and more gig offers and I got some exams coming up and I was just having so much fun DJing. So I was like, man, maybe I should just quit and try to go for this and see what happens. And up till now, it's going pretty well. So,
okay. When you're performing live, what's the DJ setup that you use?
I usually use 3 CDJs or 4 CDJs, and I'll just line up loops and stuff together, and I'll mix them all together. Like sometimes 3.
Do you make a lot of remixes and stuff on the fly, or is a lot of stuff sort of planned in advance?
No, nothing's planned in advance. I got a bunch of loops, like drum loops and also just loops without drums, just synths and stuff like this, and then vocals. Or even from tracks, I'll just skip through. Like, I'll go, if I find like an old ghetto track that I know has like a little vocal in it, or just says get it, I'll look for it and just loop it over other tracks I'm playing.
Okay.
Grab me all that long.
When you are producing music, which DAW do you prefer to work with?
Ableton. It just seems so intuitive. Really, it's, I mean, I found it the most intuitive program I found. I used Fruity Loops in the beginning when I first started making music. And I do like the sequencer they had, which I kind of miss, because you could just, you can dial in the drums, kind of like on a, like on a, like a TRA, the new TRA or the old ones. You just kind of dial in the drums. You can't really do that on Ableton as well, I feel. But anything else, Ableton is just amazing. So
okay, within Ableton, are there any sort of outside VSTs or go-to VSTs that you just couldn't live without or just need in your productions?
Yeah, I use the Waves plugins a lot for compression and the tape delays and all that stuff. So those are on like everything.
Do you use just strictly VSTs, or do you have any outboard gear that you like to work with as well?
I have some outboard gear, not a lot, but I try to stick with the plugins. I don't know. For some reason, I like the idea that I can bring my computer and then just work from anywhere. And also the I can edit the sound as much as I want, and afterwards I can still change it. You know what I mean? Like if you record it from Upwork gear, you're stuck. That's it.
Okay.
And then I don't know. First, it kind of freaks me out a little. I can't touch it anymore afterwards.
Okay. Okay, in 2014, you released a full-length album titled Taylor Swift. What was that process like, and how did that compare to producing singles or EPs?
It started out pretty organically. I just made a lot of tracks, and I figured, like, man, I got already so many tracks. Maybe I should just do an album to put them all together. That was, like, my reasoning, because I didn't... It was like, man, if I have to do releases, I'm going to have to wait a long time for these all to come out. So I just thought, let's just keep it simple and try to do an album. And then I made some extra tracks to make it all fit together. So that was pretty much the process. And I also wanted to keep... I wanted to make an album that had a lot of tracks that were made for the club, really. Okay. So it's... I don't think it's really like a listening album. For me, it's like all the stuff that I could play. That was like what I wanted to do.
So that was released on Dirty Bird, and you were mentioned earlier seeing Claude Von Stroke when you were younger and first getting into this. How did you make a connection with them in order to put that album out?
Oh, I just called them up. I really said, hey man, would you be down if I did an album? And yeah, he was down with it. So it was pretty easy.
Oh, wow. That's good enough. Has that connection paid dividends for you as you've kind of gone on in your career, or is it, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's such an inspiration, man. He gave me some good tips, and just seeing what he does, the way he does things, it's like it's a good inspiration to have.
Okay, you're going to be playing here in Vancouver at MIA on Saturday, November the 25th. What can club goers expect from you in your set that night?
Anything, man, because I'm playing with Chambray, right? Like, okay. He's playing Vancouver with me. I'm super excited to play with him because we actually met in Berlin when I was living there. And I just love his music, man. It's the best. So it's going to be, maybe we're going to even do a little back-to-back or something. We'll see what happens, but it's going to go all over the place. Going to play some really weird tracks that hopefully no one knows what stuff to do, because that goes back to when I was younger, like when I saw Club and Stroke play or something. I like coming into a club and being surprised. So if I hear too many tracks of course I like hearing certain things that, like, from an artist, be like, oh yeah, I love that track, want to hear it in the club. But I love discovering the unknown, so I get out of the evening and be like, man, what was all that shit? And I can't find it.
Are there any countries or clubs or anything that you've played at over the years that you absolutely love to play at and that you want to play at again in the future?
Yeah, there's this one gig and I played in Lebanon, which was amazing. I played in this basement, and the people there are super nice. They showed me around the whole city. Went to where was it? Byblos, like one of the oldest cities in that area. And I was, yeah, that whole experience was pretty surreal. They took me to this club afterwards, an after party, where the club was basically like an old military bunker. And you get in there and I couldn't even see my hands in front of me, it was so dark. And every 30 minutes or so, the silo doors of the roof, they open like they're gonna launch a missile or something. And then all the cool air comes in, you see all the stars. Man, that was just a surreal experience. So yeah, if I could ever play another show, I'll play that one again.
We'll be right back. Okay, what do you feel more passionate about, performing live DJing or producing, and why?
A bit of both, really. Sometimes I think, oh, I just want to be in my studio for a few months and not play at all. But on the flip side, then I go DJ and I think I just want to DJ and make no music. So for me, it's very evened out. I feel like I'm probably more a producer first than a DJ, because I'm more interested in making the music. But DJing is definitely, yeah.
Can you tell me the names of one or two producers or DJs whom you really admire and why?
There's this guy called Recondite, which I really love. I feel he has like a sound that no one else has. He does his own thing. He's like on his own island. And he just sticks to it. Also, the way, I don't know, the interviews I read with him is very inspiring. So I'm really, really inspired listening to his music. Yeah, who else? Well, DJ Dion, of course. He's like one of my biggest inspirations. I interviewed him once. It's on my Facebook, but it was really great meeting him. Sometimes you don't really want to meet your idols, right, like they say. But meeting him was great. Like, he had so many cool stories to tell. And yeah, just to hear how his music is just insane.
All right. Next question up, and last question, really. What is your vision of for yourself, for the future, for productions, and also in DJing? Where do you see yourself going?
I don't know, man. I'm making music and trying to find the route as I go, really. I'm doing some new projects too, so I'm going all over the place. I'm just having fun, trying to not to look at it as a job. You know what I mean? I always want to make sure what I make I'm really happy with, and to do something different. So if I'm not doing anything different, I won't put anything out. So I don't think I'm like super. I don't put out that much music. But if I do put out music, I'm happy with it. So, okay. Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Always try to just get better, you know? Otherwise, you get stuck and get bored.
Okay, and then I lied. This is the final question. Is there anything that you want to promote right now?
My tour, the Deep Tour that I'm on right now. I'm playing like a bunch of shows. I don't know where you go to my Facebook. You can see all the dates there. And yeah, next year I'm putting out an EP on Ways and Odyssey's label, WNO Street Tracks. And there's actually going to be one track on there with Chambre that I made with him. So that should be a fun one.
This has been Kill Frenzy. He'll be here in Vancouver at MIA on Saturday, November the 25th, and tickets are still available online. A selection of Kill Frenzy tracks can be found on Beatport, iTunes, and Juno Download, and a full list of Kill Frenzy web links can also be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. So thanks a lot for doing this.
Sometimes feels like the only thing you can count on in life is the fact that Mint Records will always have a Christmas party and always have it ridiculously early. This year, join Woolworm, Needles and Pins, Jay Arner, Supermoon, Kellerisa, and Dumb at the Astoria on December 2nd for music, presents, and Christmas fun. Nikkei National Museum's Hastings Park 1942 exhibit marks the 75th anniversary of Japanese-Canadian internment. Visit the exhibit until January 13th to see Japanese Problem, a contemporary performance piece which offers a glimpse into a dark episode of history at the Pyrenees Livestock Barn. Nikkei National Museum is located in Burnaby and entry is by donation.
We are done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. I hope you enjoyed this evening's interview with Kill Frenzy. Remember to check out his web links and full interview track list on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Thanks a lot to Kill Frenzy for making himself available for the interview a few weeks back. Much appreciated. And if you did enjoy what you heard, go check him out here on Saturday, November the 25th at MIA. And tickets are still available online. If you enjoyed the show, check it out again in podcast form, either at citr.ca or on iTunes. Up next is going to be Transcendence with Smiley Mike, and you can get your Sunday night trance fix there. Before we sign off for the night, let's set the controls for the time machine, as we always do for this week's track from the past. This one comes from Holland. It's a funky, soulful track from their debut album, Boogie Angst. This dates from 2005, and it is a production trio called Crack and Smack. This is called Keep Me Home. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks.
To carry out, you leave me hanging, baby. We've been trying much too long to get it on. It's never easy, maybe. figure out. Makes my heart to carry out. You leave me hanging, baby. We've been trying much too long to get it on. It's never easy, maybe.